Indeed, where can you go but to the Lord? In the midst of everything that goes on in our lives, Jesus says, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's some powerful stuff there. To know that in the midst of everything that goes on in our lives, we serve such an awesome God that says, in the midst of everything that goes on, come unto me, and I will help you, and I will give you some joy, some peace, some understanding that in the midst of everything you face, I'll give you rest for your soul. Boy, what an awesome reminder of that from Jesus to us. And I'm reminded of what Jesus would say in Revelations chapter 3. As John is in exile, as he writes to the seven churches of the Asia Minor, he writes these words to remind the believer that as you're suffering persecution, and at this time persecution is running rampant through the church, many are being killed. I believe John might be the only apostle left alive. They have created such a traumatic injury to all of the apostles. Many of them have been killed. Some were crucified upside down. Some were filleted like you fillet a fish. But John here, which is called what? The beloved apostle, is on exile on the island of Patmos as he writes to these seven churches, reminding them in the midst of everything that goes on, stay focused on Jesus Christ. Because all seven of them had some problems. Amen. Some were lukewarm, and Jesus said, I would that they were hot or cold. But since you're lukewarm, Jesus says, you make me sick, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Some said that they just knew that they were on the right track. And Jesus said, no, you missed me by a mile. You know why? Because you've left your first love. And so here in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus once again offers this invitation and remind these seven churches, if you stay on track with me, no matter what happens, I'll always be there for you. And I guess that's what motivates me, to know that when you decide you don't no longer want it, and you know many folks don't want Jesus. Amen, Waltz. That's right. And even some of us may be sitting here, might not want Jesus. And you know what has always blown me away in the midst of when it's time to leave here? Amen. I've seen them from the oldest to the youngest. But when it's time to leave here, I've never ever heard anyone say, oh my devil. It's always, oh my God. Amen. Why? Because in the midst of everything that goes on, whether you recognize him or not, John said one day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. So confess him now or confess him later. You know that old story, pay me now. Or pay me later. And you know, I'm learning that in the midst of everything that goes on, if we trust God, if we depend upon God, and let me just drop this in. You know, Satan knows what it takes to get us off track. Yes, oh yeah, he knows that if you're wavering on 36:24-36, that's where he's going to stay. He knows that if you're weary and wavering on any kind of sin, where you think he's going to stay? Right there in that sin. And he knows that if you're wavering on whether or not you trust God, whether or not you depend on God, boy, he's going to make the world give you everything you need to pull you away from God. Why? Because that's his job. And you know what blows me away is we try to match wits with the boy. We think we can outmaneuver the devil. No. Revelation chapter 14, I believe, the Bible said there was war in heaven. The devil and his angels thought they could do things better than God. And where did he send him? To the earth. Job chapter 1, in the midst of Job's crisis, guess who was there? Satan. Why was Satan there? Well, why would he be with anybody else?
Don't miss that. When you live your life the way God requires, when you stand up and are counted for the cause of Christ, where do you think the devil gonna be? Right beside you. Why would he worry about the world? He got the world. He's looking for you and I. And he wants to put any kind of doubt in your mind to stop you from serving the Lord. Title of the lesson this morning is, Who's Your Daddy? Oh, yes. You know, we always say God is our Father, but I really ought to ask the question, who's your daddy this morning? Because if God the Father is your daddy, then you ought to be showing signs from your daddy. Amen. As a father, my job is to show my kids the proper way of living on this time side of life, right?
Amen.
They should have the right attitude, the right mindset, and they should have common courtesy and respect. Amen, Walls. We don't have that anymore. That's right. And when they see that, and where are they going to see it? In their daddy.
That's right.
Come on, y'all. Work with me this morning. And I want to show you that when Christ is really our daddy, we show the world that he's alive and well because you can see him inside of me. But see, in order for him to really be our daddy, we got to have his mindset, don't we not? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself. Don't miss that part. See, in order for God to really be your daddy, you got to make yourself a servant. Amen. You got to make yourself conform to what your daddy said. And see, and I always said, if I'm the daddy, you're going to do what I say to do. Oh, y'all didn't have that coming up? I used to hate it. Mama said, go out there and get a switch. You're going to punish me with the switch that I'm going to bring to you. Okay, no problem. Yeah, no problem. See, you understand that.
It got worse when she brought the bigger switch.
Huh? That's right. So you need to understand that God chastens us the same way. He says, and if we're without chastening, we're a... Yeah, you fill in the blank of that. But church, this morning I want to remind you, as fathers, our job, our responsibility is to really show our children the right way. Elders, teachers, our job is to be the example to the rest of the world.
Amen.
That's why he set elders and deacons over the church. What? To shepherd, to guide the flock. My job as an evangelist is not to damn you, but to remind you that one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account. And guess what? I don't need your blood on my hands. I got enough to deal with the two individuals inside of me. Y'all looking at me funny. Some of y'all might even have four or five. Maybe even a few more than that. But church, I just want to stop by this morning and just raise a question, who your daddy? Because if God is your father, shouldn't we be showing the world through the demonstration of our lifestyle? I want to look at Revelations chapter 3, verse number 20. You thought I forgot, huh? No.
Yeah.
He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my Father's throne, even as I have overcome and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so he writes these words to remind these seven churches, you better stay on track. You better remember who's your daddy and then demonstrate who's your daddy by showing the world that he's alive and well with us. And I'm learning, in order for me to really be the father that I have to be, I have to first and foremost recognize the Father. And when I recognize the Father, guess what? It's not difficult for me to relay that to my children. No. See, our children need role models. Amen. And it shouldn't be Magic Johnson, Jordan, or whoever is on the basketball court. Amen. It shouldn't be Beyonce. Beyonce. You didn't hear me. I like messing with Clinton.
No, it should be you and I who are members of the body of Christ. We ought to be the example to our children. Our children should not have to look for external things to make them happy. They ought to find happiness in us. Don't we enjoy, older folks, don't we enjoy coming to church?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. Leave that alone. I'm getting a sidebar up here, so you know.
But church, when they see us excited, motivated about doing the work of the Lord,
you won't have to beg them to do anything. Y'all missed Friday night. Oh, y'all weren't here Friday night? I'm sorry.
We had from the smallest to the biggest leading songs.
Well, we had a good time Friday. You missed it? Amen. Oh, yeah, we withdrew ourselves from the world. We closed the world off, and we praised God to the best of our ability. Amen. And you know what? Our young men did an excellent job.
They did.
And you know, that's what it's all about, church. When I leave here, I need to leave some kind of legacy that you're going to carry on. What kind of legacy should I leave? Did he believe God? Did he live for the Lord? And then because of his lifestyle of living for Jesus Christ, I want to do the same thing because he followed Jesus just like I want to follow him. Isn't that what Paul says? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And Paul had a lifestyle that was second to none. But I'm learning we can live the same way if we surrender our will to the will of the Father. So this morning, who's your daddy? Jesus said on one occasion, you are of your father, the devil. So who's your devil? He was a liar from the beginning, and the truth abided not in him. And see, you can always test who your father is. Ask yourself a question on a scale of 1 to 10, who your father is. Is it sin, or is it the truth? See, because if sin motivates you and drives you to do what you do, then your father has to be the father of the devil. But if it's the father of the truth, guess what? You abide in the truth, and the truth is ever present in your everyday life. The only way we have the truth is we got to stay with the Word. Amen. Oh, yeah. I don't know how you're doing it out here in your morning class, but all of my young folks are bringing their Bibles. And I told them, I need you to bring your Bibles to help me.
Amen.
Help me what? Get back to my Bible. You know, it's so easy to get on that phone, that iPad. I ain't talking about nobody in particular, but if I'm down your way, how you doing? And as you sitting here, how many of y'all are really opening your Bibles to make sure I'm saying what's right? Uh-oh, I got them. Because how you know I'm telling you the truth? It sounds good. But sounding good and doing what the Bible says is totally different thing. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak how? As the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it how? With the ability that God supplied, that in all things God might be glorified. How do you know if I'm speaking the truth? Because it sounds good.
I got you, brother.
That's what I'm talking about. And see, and that's what's going to make the difference. So when we complain about our children not following the Bible, anybody throwing nothing at me? Make sure that you're following your Bible. Because the kids are only going to do what they see us doing. Amen. And if they see us doing nothing, I don't know how this got there, but this don't cost you nothing. I'm a firm believer that it starts with me. I taught my son when they were here. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Yeah, he might sway. He might go away this way and that way. But the Bible said he will not depart from it. Church, if we're supposed to be the example of who our daddy is, can they really see our daddy? Because when I see the father, he's got a different mindset than what we had. He's a joyous individual. He's a loving individual. Now, I'm talking about my daddy. He's an individual that is a jealous guy.
Amen.
Uh-oh. We got any other daddies before our daddy?
Church, I just stopped by this morning to remind us that if God is our daddy, it ought to be evident to the world around us who he is. It ought to be evident in the things that we say and do in our everyday life. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Our speech If God is our daddy, ought to be the speech of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. See, if God is our daddy, then folks around us ought to see him in us.
Amen.
They ought to see the light that shines in our everyday life. That's why he says, you are the light of the world. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness. If he's called me out of darkness, then why is I'm always in darkness? See, because my daddy reigns supreme in heaven, and my daddy left me something to follow him by. Amen. Oh yeah, this is just not a physical thing. I mean, I've trained my children in the way they should go from a physical sense. But I've also tried to train them from a spiritual sense, and my father has helped me to train them. Y'all looking at me funny. You know how he helps me? When they went in the watery grave, my father gave them his spirit. His spirit testifies with their spirit who they are. You're looking at me funny. Romans chapter 8, round about verses 14 and following. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So who's your daddy? See, because if God's your daddy, it ought to be evident to everyone you come in contact with. If he's really our daddy, then when we go out into the world, you don't have to walk around with your daddy on your bumper sticker.
No.
You don't have to wear your daddy around your neck. Amen. Because when he's really your daddy, what comes out of here and the way you live will show folks who you are. Jesus was. Was he an example of his daddy? Yes, he did. He said, I always do the things that please my daddy. He said, my father. But it's interesting, because when you stop and you think about the way Jesus lived his life, the Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not. Neither was there anything in his mouth that was unwholesome. That's the daddy that I want to serve. See, our speech, Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Church, who's your daddy this morning? On a scale of 1 to 10, do you honor your daddy like you honor your father on earth? I hope not. I hope and pray that as we honor the Father of heaven, that we will honor him in such a way that all glory and honor will go back to him. John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus says, I always do the things that please my Father.
Amen.
I want to encourage us and remind us that as we live on this time side of life, put God where he belongs first and more foremost. You know, I'm recall, as you look at history, America for the first 150 years of its existence recognized the Father. 150, 200 years later, that's the last thing that America wants to recognize. It's more about the flag. It's more about the national anthem than it is about God. You stop and you think about it. You look at the history of America, born from God, and look at where we're at now. Now we don't hardly recognize God when we sit down to have a meal. We don't even think to stop and think about when we get ready to pray or go to sleep. When we lay our heads down, we're so busy because the world has consumed us so much that we don't even stop to say, thank you, Father. Be with me as I sleep. Yeah. How many of us stop and think about that? And in conclusion, let your daddy be the Father of heaven, so that when men, women, boys, and girls see, they can see the Father within you. I want to encourage us and remind us that God has blessed us beyond measure, and he's allowed us to be part of the kingdom, which is his body. I want to leave you with this passage of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 and round about verse number 9. Peter would write these words to the believer to encourage their hearts
and to remind them that we are something special. And I guess that's what motivates me. I may not be nothing in your eyesight, but your eyes don't really matter no way. What really matters is the eyes of the dead. And so Peter would leave us with these words and remind the believer that our mind ought to go much higher than what man would say. He says in roundabout 1 Peter chapter 2 and roundabout verse number 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation. Let that soak in. Out of the cesspools of immorality, God chose me. I know, and some of y'all wouldn't choose me to even, well, anyway. But God chose me out of the cesspools of immorality that I might be the righteousness of God. Boy, that's exciting to know that no matter what transpires, I might not be nothing on this time side of life. But because my willingness to obey the gospel, he chose me. And you know, and I take that choosing as an honor. That's right. He says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Church, and that's what motivates me, to know that the God of heaven took time to choose me. And not only did he choose me, he wiped away all of my sins. Oh, yes. I'm recalling when I went in that watery grave, when I heard the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, that is in that watery grave that God does this spiritual operation and wash away all of my sins. Boy, I told the preacher, take me to the water. Amen. Why? Because it's in the water I can be forgiven. I don't have to walk around with this excess baggage. How many of y'all got some baggage this morning? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. God knows. God knows that you got baggage that you need to get rid of. But I'm learning. If I go to Jesus, he will give me the rest so I don't have to worry about the baggage. But I learned that when I went in that watery grave, he washed away all of my sins. And when I came up, he forgave me. And guess what? I forgave myself. I don't care how much digging you do. Dig on. You might dig yourself in the wrong place. Amen. But he forgave me. And I want to challenge each and every one of us, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, 10 months into the new year. Have you taken inventory lately? Oh, yeah, it's the end of the year. It's time to do some inventory. How much have you sold? How much have you bought? How much have you given away? Oh, have you sold your soul? Have you bought into the world's economy to where Christ really has no effect in your life? Are you willing to buy or lay down for anything? We live in a world that needs some changes. But you know what? It's not going to change till we start here. Where do you think Michael Jackson got that song from? I'm beginning to look. I'm starting with who? The man in the mirror. Yeah, boy, shut up. And I'm learning that when you start with the man in the mirror, you can change the man outside the mirror. You can change the man on the other side of the mirror. But it has to start with us. Want to encourage you as members of the body of Christ as this year draws to a close, and it's coming. Stop and think about, what have I really done for the Lord? If he was to call you right now, where would you spend eternity? Would it be in paradise? Or would it be in torment? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 is pointed unto man wants to die. After death comes the judgment. I don't know about you. I plan to spend my eternity with the Father. So therefore, I want to look like him. I want to walk like him. And in the midst of messing up, I'm glad he's able to forgive me and put me right back on the right track. Boy, when I heard that a while back, boy, I said, I need to be a Christian. Because where else can I get forgiveness when you won't forgive? Amen, Walls. Amen. Because Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor
and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm learning that I can be at peace on this time side of life when I got a penny and a nail in my pocket. Because it ain't about that. It's about the joy that comes knowing that when this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, I got a place eternal in the heaven. How about you this morning? Who's your daddy? Do you really have a place eternal in the heavens? I want to encourage you. Stay on track, take an inventory, and if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, get busy doing the will of the Father. Matter of fact, Paul wrote to the church in Romans chapter 13, now that it's time to wake up out of our sleep. That word there means stupor. You ever been so droggy in your sleep that you sleepwalk? Oh, y'all don't sleepwalk? Oh, yeah. I'm learning that you can be walking with your eyes wide open, be asleep. And you know what? I got a sermon called Going to Hell with Your Eyes Wide Open. Amen. I know we don't think like that, though. Oh, yes. I'm learning, church, you can be asleep and have all your functions going on. And I'm talking about a spiritual sleep. If you're here this morning, you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.